the thing. Most of us are chronically online, including myself. It's hard not to be these days, but studies have shown just how taxing a digital existence can be. Luckily for the folks in Northwest Ohio, there is an ever-present outlet for escaping the pull of our curated algorithms, our metro parks. I'm Erin Holden, editor-in-chief of the Toledo Free Press. Each week, I'll be shadowing a different person at various metro parks to see how they are taking advantage of our expansive park system. Whether you are a runner, bird watcher, fisherman, or a mom who just wants your kid to get some fresh air and exercise at the playground, our parks really present infinite possibilities for outdoor experiences. And that's what I'll be doing on this podcast, exploring those possibilities with local folks like you who use Metro Parks Toledo in your day-to-day lives. Because if you want to get away from your screens and back to nature, Toledo's public spaces really do make that a walk in the park. It's just like riding a bike. That's the phrase that is supposed to encompass all things that come back to you after a long absence. The park we're highlighting this week, Wildwood, was a nice location to revisit my long-neglected biking skills, a hobby that I wanted to get back into with the moral and technical support of Anthony DeVito. Anthony is an avid cyclist who normally bikes in Farnsworth Metro Park, but we felt that Wildwood was a nice spot for us to convene, especially for a less experienced rider like myself. The park's extensive paved trails are a great place to start for anyone who's looking to become more active through cycling. And that's another thing we want to highlight for this episode, how the metro parks can be an excellent resource for increasing longevity. With all the outdoor activities available at the parks, making visits a regular part of your routine can keep you in shape, whether you're biking or going for walks. I met up with Anthony at the Met Stables, where we sat down for a chat before our ride. Hi, Anthony. Nice
Hello.
To see you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for coming out to meet up with me to talk about riding bikes in the metro parks.
Our metro parks are wonderful for being able to get out to bicycle or walk or do any activity that is available.
Yeah, and we're here at Wildwood. Is this a park that you come to regularly?
I make it out here maybe once every couple of months or so. Mm-hmm. I'm in Waterville, so a bit of a ways to get up here, but this is such a wonderful park, so I do get up here. We have some walking club walks here probably two, three times a year at least.
Okay.
And I've met my girlfriend here and did some walks and friends to walk with, yes.
Yeah, so walking and riding bikes out here. Do you ride bikes at this park as well?
I don't ride bikes here, no.
That's typically at Farnsworth.
Mainly at Farnsworth, mm-hmm. Yes.
So on this episode, we're talking a lot about longevity and how utilizing the metro parks can help with that. So do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm 60.
60, okay. So I hear that you're in a biking group, an organized group. Is that for a certain age group or just for anyone?
It is open to all. Okay. I'm a member of the Maumee Valley Adventurers is the name of the group.
Cool.
And there's a walking contingent, a bicycling contingent mainly, and then on the side there's a travel thing that we do as well. Mm-hmm. But yes, we have bicycling weekly rides. There's one on Wednesday and one on Saturday and Friday, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. The Friday and Saturday ones are both meet at certain locations and then ride out to coffee shops and have coffee and then ride back.
That sounds
my speed. And
the
Wednesday one is another morning ride that people just gather at a spot, ride for 20 miles, whatever the number of miles is on that day, and then usually have lunch afterwards.
Mm-hmm. And have you always been into cycling?
I got into cycling, how long has it been now? It was probably about 25 or so years ago. I mean, I always rode bikes, but got into active cycling about 25 years ago, and I was riding with Toledo area bicyclists, usually a couple of rides a week, usually the Monday and or Thursday rides. And that got me into riding longer rides, faster, you know, more. I was never a fast, hot rider by any stretch, but, you know, I could ride a good 25-mile ride easily enough and do a 62-miler without too much trouble.
Yeah, so when you say active cycling, you mean kind of pushing yourself more than
just
like a casual ride.
Yeah, like you see people in their kit and everything on expensive bikes, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. So your interest has changed maybe as you've gotten older and...
It has. I'm not as interested in being that avid in cycling. I'd rather ride the towpath on my mountain bike, and it's a nice easy workout. The nice thing about Farnsworth is it's a 10-mile ride to Grand Rapids, so you can get a 20-mile ride in if you like. It's pleasant, you know, it's a little busy at or near the parks, but once you get in the middle stretches there, you know, it's wide open. There's a river next to you, the trees, it's nice.
I wanted to tell you a little bit about my experience with cycling, which mm-hmm. is very little. I used to bike a lot as a kid, just really riding around the neighborhood and doing that kind of thing, but I'm kind of more nervous about it as an adult. I feel like I'm a little bit out of practice, and I get nervous when I'm like in busy areas. So for people who haven't always been adept at riding, like me, what are some approachable ways to get started with cycling?
My first thought would be is find a particular friend to get out there and do it with, whether it's somebody who rides more or less, or, you know, who just says, oh, I'd like to ride too. And as far as, you know, gear and equipment, the main thing is a helmet. Make sure you have a helmet.
Okay.
And your bike is in good condition. Make sure of that. Otherwise, that's pretty much it. And pick a location, any of the trails around here. The rail trails are good. Just be mindful of the busy areas where there's a lot of walkers and people with pets and whatnot. Mm-hmm. That's one of the areas that you got to mind. But once you get slightly off of the beaten path, you know, or just outside of those busy areas, you know, that's a great place to hop on a bike and just get out there and practice with it, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, everything around here, you know, there's straight roads and it's all flat.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's not hard to do.
Yeah. So I would imagine Wildwood is a good place to start if you want to take your bike out, because there are a lot of good paved paths.
Sure. Yes. The path that takes you to the Parks Trail mm-hmm. near here is a good one. And then any of the paved paths are good. Mm-hmm. And for anybody who might be interested in mountain biking, then, of course, the Oak Openings area is where you can go. And there's some training area there. And there's the main loops have different skill level tricks or whatever the name of those features are. You know, so if you're a novice, you could take the easy one. Or if you're a high-end rider, you can take the complex section of the trail.
Yeah. What do you feel like cycling has done for your health over the years?
Without a doubt, I noticed the cardio fitness was very noticeable and beneficial. The other thing that made me chuckle was that when I was riding and burning more carbs, I could eat more carbs. You know, so I ate a little more, or ate a little. I don't want to say worse, but I took advantage of it, basically. But yeah, and I had lost a little bit of weight, and so it was very, very effective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's keeping your stamina up, and you feel like you can ride more and more. And what is it about being on your bike that brings you joy?
The open feeling. And when I was riding, you know, going fast was fun. And again, there were people so much faster than me, so it wasn't like I was blazing the trail, but I was going fast enough where I felt it.
Right, it gave you a thrill, right? And that's what you're shooting for, is like that individual, you know, gratification of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have our bikes here, and like I said, I haven't biked in a really long time, so mm-hmm. how do I make sure that everything is ready, that my seat is adjusted well? Like, what are some things to make sure I do before I get started?
First things first, make sure your brakes work.
That's pretty important.
This is a problem right here.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
No.
I borrowed our producer's daughter's old bike for this meeting, since I didn't have a bike rack to get my own long-ignored bike to Wildwood. It turns out that the brakes on the right side didn't work, though the one on the left side worked just fine, thankfully. Kudos to Anthony for his thorough inspection.
The other thing, too, is your saddle in the right spot, mm-hmm. handlebars adjusted to the right spot.
Okay.
Go to a bike shop. They can help you get fitted if you're
going to
be doing that.
That's good to know.
The other thing is your derailleurs and being able to shift gears.
Mm-hmm.
If they click or they won't shift, again, a bike shop will take care of that.
That's
pretty important. Beyond that, are your tires pumped up and full and ready to go.
Okay, so you just...
So this one's maybe just a touch low. So what we would do is just take a bike pump. And once they're good, That's about it. Ready to go.
Yeah, how do I make sure that the seat is adjusted well for my height?
This little lever right here is all it takes, right. And you just move it up to what you think you might need. Mm-hmm. So we'll try that based on what you'd sat on earlier. We'll see if mm-hmm. that...
Okay. Yeah. As I was saying, I think my husband always says I have it a little bit too low because it's my comfort zone. I'm afraid I'm going to tip over.
But your toes are okay.
Yeah,
there,
so
I think.
As long as your toes are touching the ground, then you're like at a good height.
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple more things to think about for safety is make sure you've got your helmet. Make sure it clicks. And one of the things is make sure that it's forward. A lot of people ride with their helmets to the back of their head. It needs to be like directly over the top of your head. And also a little snug, you know, so you can still talk and everything, but not like it like the strap is hanging. Another thing that's important for people riding, have a bike light on the back. A red flashing light is pretty important. Night or day, make sure you're doing that. And also if you have a white light for the front, a headlight, is also helpful. Ready to go? Let's go.
All right, let's do it.
Whoa.
I'm not gonna lie, I was more than a little wobbly starting off. Had to adjust the gears. After a quick ride that helped me get my bearings, we returned to the stables and parked alongside one of those handy bike repair stations that I've seen at so many metro parks. It includes a pump and repair tools you may need before going on a ride through the park.
Well, it was really nice to meet you, Anthony, and thank you so much for giving me a lot of safety tips and going on a ride with me.
It was a lot of fun.
I was particularly excited to meet with our next guest because she's a longtime friend of mine and kind of a bonus mother-in-law of sorts. She and my mother-in-law grew up together on South Detroit Avenue, and they are still besties to this day. I asked her to be on the show because there's no one I know who is more attuned to wellness and longevity than Wendy DeBoard. She also happens to live right next to Wildwood and makes a walk in the park a regular part of her daily fitness routine. Introducing Wendy, the Wildwood Walker.
Wendy, thank you so much for meeting up with me today at Wildwood.
You are welcome, Erin.
So we have known each other for years. You are kind of like a second mother-in-law to me, I would say.
Oh, that is a high honor.
Aww. So I thought of you immediately for this episode and knew that I wanted to go for a walk with you because you live right next to Wildwood Metro Park.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and I know that you are also very health conscious, and this episode really we're delving into longevity and easy things that you can do to age well, right?
Okay. So,
and you just turned 75.
Yes.
And you even had a surprise party at this Metro Park last week,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did, and it was truly a surprise.
Yeah, that's so cool. So tell me a little bit about yourself. I know that you're retired. How many years have you been retired now?
5 years.
Okay.
5 years.
Yeah. And what has life in retirement been like for you health-wise?
Amazing, because it really takes a lot of time to really focus on everything that makes you healthy, you know, planning meals, cooking, and exercise, definitely.
I was talking to someone in a previous episode about this, how sometimes as someone who works full time, I can feel like there are so many things to do to be healthy, like for your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health, and all that stuff, that it can almost be overwhelming. So you have found in retirement that you finally have time to just like do all the things.
Yeah, not that I do them all, but I could if I wanted to.
You can really make your own day however you want to.
It was much harder when I was working, even though I lived by the park, you know, the hours that you could devote to doing it, everything kind of came into focus in 2017. Everybody was talking about walking 10,000 steps. Mm-hmm. Now we know that's a total myth, and it was a Japanese pedometer maker, but that doesn't matter. I decided in January of 2017 to walk 10,000 steps every single day.
Yeah.
And it happened to be an incredibly cold January. And the first time out, I thought, what were you thinking? It was horrifying. And I got to tell you, on those days, you really don't see many people out walking.
Yeah.
But I stuck to it, and it became a habit.
Yeah.
So that's part of the deal.
Well, since this is your park that you walk in just about every day,
yes.
Do you want to go for a walk and talk with me now?
I would love
to. Okay. And I know that you're also a really involved Metro Parks member.
Yes.
So tell me more about what you do.
Well, I was a member when you really just wanted to support the Metro Parks.
Sure. So,
and then it was like when I retired, oh, I have more time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing the volunteer trail patrol with my partner, Chris Brown. And you just try to get in 50 hours in a year in two-hour shifts. Mm-hmm. And this is our park where we walk.
That's really cool. I know you as being a very health-conscious person, like I said. Have you always been that way?
Yeah, I think I really have.
Okay. Even when you were like a kid?
No, but as a young adult, and it's funny, you just sort of take what you do as like, oh yeah, that's perfectly normal.
Uh-huh.
But I realize, no, actually it's not. I read lots of books about, although there's so many fascinating things about the brain and anatomy and exercise and definitely diet. I don't follow diets very well, but I like to read about them.
And you like to try different ones, I've noticed,
too. Probably every day or so.
You'll switch it up every day.
Yeah. I stick to some things. I did vegan-ish for a year.
Vegan-ish?
Yeah. That's about as close as I could get to just doing vegetables with not really using oil and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And it's super healthy. But
what was
when
the
you
thing?
Hang out with other people, it makes it tough.
Vegan is hard. So what was the thing that knocked you off the vegan diet or the thing that you were like, I can't do that?
You know.
Was it cheese? For me, it would be cheese.
Cheese. I don't think I actually ever totally gave up cheese, you know. And I just sort of slipped away from it. I was definitely at my healthiest, to be honest, when I was... You know, so I'm going to try to be at least vegetarian-ish.
Okay.
If I can't do the vegan bit.
Right. Now that I think I could probably do. I always say I could be pescatarian. Have there been some moments in your life that made you feel compelled to focus even more on your health?
Yes. Yes. After COVID, I had COVID in 2020 when nobody really knew what COVID actually was. And I had what I felt was a very mild case. But then, just 2 months later, I had a stroke in my eye, which I didn't know you could actually have
me
a stroke
either.
Just in your eyeball. And it blasted out the macula, the back of the eye.
Ugh.
And every 3 months, I have to have a shot in my eye. And that's just what it is that helps keep the inflammation down. So that means eating more anti-inflammatory foods just makes good sense.
One thing I've always admired about Wendy is her ability to roll with the punches. A lot of people would feel pretty deflated about having to have an injection in their eye on a regular basis. And I'm sure Wendy did, but she always keeps going, researching the best ways to become healthier. She is, in short, a trooper.
We are at the Manor House now, which is one of my favorite spots
here.
Me too. So let's walk closer to the Manor House. One of my favorite things about coming to this park is all the stuff that happens during the holidays.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Halloween and Christmas.
Yes. I went to the Halloween thing here this past year, and Towns really enjoyed it, my five-year-old. And there were some parts he was scared of, especially right toward the end. There was some scary thing that just as you exit here, he was like, he didn't want to go. That was the part that put him over the edge. I was like, well, we do have to leave here, so we're going to have to walk through here. But that was really fun. And the Christmas one is
yes.
super fun.
Actually, this building, you know, the Stranahans build it.
Right.
And they do historical tours here. And yes, I'm not good on what style this is, But with those really tall pillars and all the brick, all the windows, it's just amazing. And the fact that because it was before air conditioning, they diverted the creek behind it. So there's a tunnel underneath which allowed it cool air to come up the registers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, when you
so
have
resourceful.
Money, when you have money, you can do those things, you know.
It's true.
And they patrolled the grounds on horses. That's why there's a stable over there.
Okay, I never knew that. Oh my gosh.
And are we lucky or what that it ended up being a metro park instead of a huge development?
Yes. Absolutely.
I am so, so grateful for that.
I know. I love this space. And I'll often come here and I've seen people get engaged here.
Oh,
I've seen people.
And weddings?
Yeah, and
weddings?
Like do their photo shoots out here and the weddings. Yeah, it's just such a beautiful spot.
And the garden is absolutely gorgeous. And it was so funny because when the Metro Park took over, they kind of did it in the, oh, go back to the native plants.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, oh, no, we really need to take it back to the formal garden.
Okay.
So
if
you can change your mind.
Sure.
You know?
I like
it
that.
Does. It fits the vibe to have it be formal.
Yeah.
It does.
It does look more formal, like, you know, very, very majestic.
It is. I agree.
I also wanted to ask you about your routine when you go for walks in Wildwood. So how do you start? I mean, you're right
next out my door.
Yeah, you walk out your door and you're here. So and what do you do first?
Yeah, any of the trails, you know, work. It's nice in the winter. I'll stay on this paved path because the metro parks, they clear the walkways way before the city gets around to plowing.
No kidding. That
and
is
I
true.
Am not
I've noticed
kidding. You can get out here and walk no matter what, which is really, really good.
Do you do any stretching before you walk?
I usually will do that. Like I'll go to chair yoga over at the JCC.
Oh, okay. So you kind of have a routine where you do some kind of exercise that involves stretching and then you do your walk.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. On the whole.
Yeah.
On the whole.
Yeah.
But to be really honest, I would love to say, and I am totally immersed in the beauty and nature when I walk, but I realize what I really am is usually immersed in an audiobook.
Oh, okay. You are. Okay.
Or my absolute favorite is talking to people when with my headset on.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. So you catch up with friends.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
So you can get in a ton of steps, and especially when your feet already know exactly where to go, you don't really have to think.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful way. I love that multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. And do you do any meditation? It seems like I remember you also did meditation.
I do. I use the wooden platform that is real close to the bike trail. You walk into the metro park and there's a nice wooden platform with some benches. And I try to be the first person out so I can just sit there and watch the sun come up.
Right. Oh, I love that. Did walking shift from something you tried to something that you needed over the years, do you find?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can't. Yes. When I travel, it's like, hey, anybody want to go for a walk? You know, so yes, it definitely is.
I'm sure having this resource every day when you're traveling, you probably miss it.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a go-to trail that you use here at Wildwood, or do you mix it up?
You know, to be honest, I'll bet you I use the paved the most.
Yeah.
Just like being on autopilot.
Uh-huh,
you know,
sure.
Just tend to stay on it. And you know exactly how long it's going to take. But all the paths off to the side are great. The boardwalk. Yeah. The boardwalk's really nice.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like you are a rain or shine walker, right? Because you said that you walk when it's really, really cold.
Yeah. Yep, I do. And you just dress for it, no matter what.
Right. There's no bad weather, just bad clothes, like they say.
Right.
since this episode is about aging well and aging healthfully, I thought of you as like the perfect model for that.
Oh, well, thank you. That's a compliment.
And what do you think has been the most foundational part of living healthfully past retirement? Because some people don't. Some people, when they retire, they kind of go downhill, you know?
You have to stay engaged. Mm-hmm. My father lived to be 96.
Nice.
And his motto, and of course, when I was young, I just roll my eyes. He summed it up in four words: sit still, you die.
Oh, yeah.
And it really is all about movement, being engaged, mm-hmm. moving forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just don't want to sit there and watch everything pass you by.
I know, yeah. Staying active physically and also just being interested in life, it seems like.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I have some relatives that lived into their 90s too, especially the women, actually. I mean, women do live longer.
Yeah.
That was a lot of it for them, is they were very curious, you know? They were just curious about life. So
and
they were always doing
chances
stuff.
Chances are more social
yes.
than sometimes the men tend to be.
Yeah, so. That can be true, I think. Women seek out community a lot of times.
Yes.
Yeah, so we know that that's a big indicator of longevity, is building community. So.
Right.
Well, we've made it back to the stables here, and as you can hear, I'm a little bit out of breath, which
oh,
is good.
Funny.
I needed that. Well, it's good to see you, and happy 75th.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm on to my next 50.
Yeah, right.
Well, great working with you on this. Okay?
Yes, thanks for coming out.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
As a society, we are obsessed with chasing youth, and not just in regards to appearance. We have always had a fixation on immortality, or as close as we can get to it. What are centenarians doing to live healthfully in their later years? How can we live that long? And beyond that, how do we live well at that age? Full disclosure, I'm 39, so far from retirement at this point, but I can reflect on some of the longest living members of my family who lived well. My grandma Martin, who lived until she was 95, was fueled by curiosity. My dad affectionately called her Nosy. Then there was my mama Ann, an old Cajun lady who was still going to dance halls and enjoying a beer now and then well into her 90s. You have to stay engaged in life, or, as Wendy's dad put it, sit still, you die. Simple advice, yet effective, which is why I'm going to close my laptop now and take my afternoon walk. I'd like to thank my guests, Anthony DeVito and Wendy DeBoard, for joining me on today's episode. Thanks as well to our production team, M.R. Herner and Chris Pfeiffer, and a special thanks to Scott Carpenter of Metro Parks Toledo. A Walk in the Park With is a collaboration between Metro Parks Toledo and WGTE Public Media. You can find our episodes at wgte.org/walkinthepark or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host and producer, Erin Holden. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.